It's good for us to be back together again tonight, to have another opportunity to examine and search out the Scriptures, God's Holy Word, as He has commanded us to do, as we need to be doing every day, and on this very good subject to study about how we can pray to God with understanding, how we can seek to please Him more in our prayers, and as a result, for our prayers to be even more effectual in their purpose and the things that we make requests for of God, and all of those things that we would like to accomplish in our prayers, that God would like for us to accomplish in our prayers, we are trying to learn more about as we study this together. And this would be the fourth lesson in this series now that we've been involved in here for the last little while. So we want to continue with that tonight. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, there is a section here in the middle of it, in this middle chapter, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus is teaching his disciples, those who were there at that time to hear these words, teaching them to pray, of course, teaching us to pray at the same time, though we do recognize there are a couple of things in this particular example of prayer that Jesus gave that were changed later because of the change in circumstances where Jesus had ultimately fulfilled God's will and went to the cross and then was resurrected on the third day, and then His kingdom was established. So there are some things in here that would not exactly apply today as it did in the time when Jesus taught this, while Jesus was still on the earth, clearly when He was preaching this sermon. The purpose right now is not to focus on those things, but to look at some of the principles that He teaches in here in this section of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, some of the things that come out in this teaching that Christ gave concerning prayer, one of the things, one of the real key points that we looked at last week was who we're to pray to. And, of course, that is the Father. We pray to the Father through or in the authority by the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. But we also see here in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, as He teaches us to pray to our Father who is in heaven, then He says, "Hallowed be Thy name." So right there we see our Father who is in heaven, who is holy and above all. But this prayer, or this teaching about prayer, this example of prayer that Christ gave, begins with this acknowledgement of God's dwelling place in heaven. We see the same thing in the parallel passage of Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. Luke 11 and verse 2, there Jesus said to His disciples, When you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth." Our Father, which art in heaven. So He's acknowledging His dwelling place in both of those accounts. And this is reminding us of, again, of who we are praying to. We are praying to the God of heaven. Let's look at Acts chapter 17 now, as the Apostle Paul was preaching in Athens on this occasion here. Acts 17, verses 24 and 25. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Well, what's significant about our Father which art in heaven? Well, there we see that brought out here. He's not a physical being. He is not one who dwells in anything made with men's hands. He is not of this world, a physical creature at all. God is the creator. He is in his dwelling place, heaven. So it is an acknowledgement, again, and with understanding, it should be an acknowledgement of who God is. And we are praying to the God of heaven, the one that made all things, the one that rules over all things. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 verse 16. More of this teaching about who we are praying to and what we're acknowledging when we use these words like what Jesus taught us to. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need." So here we're approaching the very throne of the Almighty God in heaven. We are approaching His throne there. When we are beseeching him in our prayers. We also saw in Matthew 6 and again in Luke 11 and verse 2, going along with that, we acknowledge God's holiness. So who he is, his authority, that he is the God of heaven and his dwelling place, hallowed be thy name. God is holy in his nature. So these are all things that we're acknowledging of God when we pray to him, when we're praying with understanding. We do pray to the Father, but that should also carry with it that understanding of who the Father is and the position that he occupies as the Almighty God. And this also then requires and should carry with it an acknowledgement of God's authority. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13 and verse 15, Hebrews 13:15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, it's interesting on this occasion when we look at the word thanks. It's a compound word in Greek. It means two words put together. But together, those two words mean to assent. And if you assent to something, you agree to it. So that's what that is. This isn't the normal word for thanks, which is usually a form of the word charis, a favor when God has done us a favor and we are expressing our gratitude towards him. This is not the form of the normal word for thanks that we see in Scripture. This is a different word here. So literally he's saying that we need to be giving the fruit of our lips, assenting to his name. Well, what does that mean, his name? His authority. So we are assenting to or agreeing, expressing our agreement with his authority that he possesses and that we're under. So that should be reflected in our prayers as he's teaching us there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 as we acknowledge he is the one in heaven, hallowed, holy is his name, and there we are acknowledging his position, and we are willingly submitting ourselves to him as we approach him. And that's what we see in all of these examples that we should be doing as we come to God in prayer. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus also did this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. When he was praying to his Father, we see the words that he used here, Matthew 11, 25 and 26. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Now, again, this word, thanks, is not the regular word for thanks. This is, well, it's the same word as in Hebrews 13:50 with a prefix added to it. With the prefix exo, which is out of, or ex, which is out of. So it's that word strengthened with a prefix. So it is to assent out of. Literally the word, the definition of it is to acknowledge, which is really what assent is. So here Jesus is acknowledging his Father. So when he says, "I thank thee, O Father," he's acknowledging him. Well, look at the context here. He's acknowledging the work of his Father, the work that his Father was doing by his authority in hiding these things, these teachings these spiritual things from the wise and prudent of this world, and reveals them to these babes, these innocent ones who are seeking God. Does God have control over knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and who is going to receive that and who is not, based on whether they are seeking God or not? And yes, that is all within God's authority. Jesus understood that, and he's acknowledging that in this prayer. So this is an example of a prayer that's centered in an acknowledgement of the work that God is doing. And of course, Christ was very accepting of that work, as he's acknowledging that and was cooperating with that work. So we do need to understand God and the work that he's doing, the authority that he has. We can see how that it does require with our prayers to have understanding of these things in order for that to be properly reflected in the words that we're choosing when we pray to him, knowing what to pray for and how to do that. But we see this teaching here in all these examples for us to acknowledge God and who he is and the authority that he possesses. In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, we have an example of the apostles here. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. And it says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. So here's an acknowledgement of the apostles of God's authority as creator. And then we already saw earlier in Matthew 6 and verse 13, at the close of that example of prayer that Jesus gave in teaching us how to pray, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus taught us to acknowledge God's rulership, his power, his glory, and its duration. All of that, again, reflective of who God is and the authority that he possesses. In Acts chapter 4, once more, we read verse 24. Look at 25 through 28 there. Acts 4, 25 through 28. It says, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So here they're acknowledging the works that God did in this prayer, from what he did with his son to what he was doing now in his work using his apostles. So here the apostles were acknowledging all of that with that understanding of God's work that they had. Let's turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, and we'll see reading from verses 3 through 12. Here we're being called to see and to praise God for all that he does. Psalm 66, verses 3 through 12. So if we really want to understand all the things that we need to understand and acknowledge about concerning God and in our prayers, I mean, this, we're looking at some highlights, some examples, but we would have to go from cover to cover in our search of God's Word, which we need to do. Obviously, we don't have time to do all of that tonight. But we should be on the lookout for these things as we look at the Scriptures, the different things it teaches us about God, who he is, about the works that he does, and those are all things that we need to acknowledge and that we need to praise him for. But let's read from Psalm 66, now verses 3 through 12. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Now, of course, we know terrible, we use that in a different way. This is not something bad, but it is something mighty that God does in all of his works. He says, through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. So here in these verses of Psalm 66, we see the example here of this praising of God for all of these works that he does. We need to do that. We need to know those works, and we need to acknowledge them. We need to praise God for all that he does and who he is. Let's now turn to another aspect of our prayers other than acknowledgement. That's something we need to do, acknowledging God, praising God. But another aspect of our prayers is making request of him. We're commanded to do this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, if we'll turn there. Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That word careful is, by definition, be anxious for nothing. Well, we don't need to be a people ridden with anxiety and worry about things. Does that mean that we don't feel things, that we don't have feel the emotional impact of things, especially if something bad happens? No, we feel those things, but we can still rejoice in that with understanding of what God is doing through even the trials that come upon our faith and suffering for righteousness' sake. And so we should not be a people that is that we're fraught with worry about what's going to happen. If we understand who God is and that we are in his care, and that he has the power to work in all things and will for our good as he's promised, then if we have something happening in our life that is a trial upon our faith, if we're being tested in some way, well, what do we do? What's the answer? I mean, not to sit around and wring our hands with worry or turn to other things or men for our answers or our comfort or solutions. We should turn to God. And that's why he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we have a problem, we need to turn to God and ask him to help us in that. He has the power to do that. We're demonstrating our faith in his power to do that and his love for us and all of that when we do turn to him and make our requests known to him in every situation, which is what he commands us to do there. Well, that is a condition to be able to receive. That is asking. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. I know we've read from this a number of times, but we should remind ourselves of it and how important it is for us to do these things, meet these conditions that he gives us to seek and ask and knock. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Does God want us to ask him? Well, there we see that is what he desires. But are we going to receive anything from him if we don't ask? I mean, what's the condition? He says, "Ask and you will receive." And he says, "Everyone that asks receives." What about those who don't? What if we don't have enough trust in God, enough faith in him to even bother to ask if there's something going on in our life and we need something or we think we need something or desire something? We don't even ask him for it. Is he going to give it to us anyway? Well, it really doesn't work that way, does it? In fact, let's see what he says in James chapter 4, verse 2. He gives this as a major limitation that we may be putting upon ourselves, which would not be a wise thing. But look at what he says here, James 4, verse 2. He says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot attain, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not." Well, is that the case with us? Are we lacking in something and don't have it or don't receive it because we're not asking God for that? We need to make sure that we are doing what He taught us to do, commanded us to do there in Philippians 4 and verse 6, and make our request known to Him in everything. That's what His will is. And Jesus taught us in those verses we read in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke chapter 11, Matthew 6, 10 through 13. We won't read that, or Luke 11, 2 through 4, where we read a moment ago. But He taught us there to make requests of our Heavenly Father. We're to ask Him for our daily bread. We're to ask Him for forgiveness when we have need of that. Whatever those things are, Jesus taught us to ask God for the things that we need in our prayers. And something else that He also taught us to do, another category, if we want to look at it that way, of things or parts to our prayers, or should be, and that's offering our thanks to God. So we need to acknowledge Him and praise Him. We need to make request of Him, and we also need to thank Him. Well, if we're doing all the asking like He tells us to, and if we are asking, making request, our request known to Him in everything, and those are the words that He uses there in Philippians 4 and verse 6, and then if He's responding to us and blessing us and granting us so many of our requests, should we give Him thanks for those things that He gives us? Is that right? Yes, that's right. And He does desire that and teaches us to do that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, how more plain could the statement be? He says, do that. In everything give thanks. That is the will of God. Christ Jesus concerning us, for us to give thanks in everything. Well, if we were to make requests in everything, it only would seem natural that we should offer our thanksgiving to Him in everything too. It's the right thing. Well, we also saw that word in Philippians 4 verse 6 that we read a moment ago, just to go back there when He said, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests. Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. So He adds that to it. So we need to make our request, but we also need to be expressing our thanks to Him for all that He does for us. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we see that emphasis there over and over again. I know we're just a few days away from that national holiday that we have called Thanksgiving. There's nothing wrong with, certainly with the kinds of things that we see going on in our world today. At least there once was a time, there was a tradition where people acknowledged that this was important, even set aside a day to do that. But as Christians, what day should really be our day of Thanksgiving? I mean, that should be, we should have 365 of those, except for leap year. And then we have another one, 366 then, every 4 years. But that we should be doing that every day. I mean, that's something that should be part of our lives in service to God, that we should thank God for everything, like He tells us to. That is His will in Christ Jesus concerning us. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we see some examples. These are some things that we need to thank God for. We're going to look at some examples of that. So we've looked at the general principles that we need to acknowledge God and praise Him. We need to make our requests known to Him. We need to offer thanksgiving to Him and everything. But we want to look at some more particulars now. Now some specifics about some things that we should thank God for, things that we do have to thank Him for. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And we do occasionally sing that song about counting our blessings. Do we just take for granted things that God gives to us without, and think of that term, take for granted. Do we consider it granted that we have those things and that we don't bother to consider that this is a gift or a blessing from God that we should thank Him for? Well, it shouldn't be that way. We do need to take the time to consider all the things that we have and that they did come from God, and that we should thank Him for those things. We see some examples here given in this passage in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yet we already read earlier in this very chapter, Jesus taught us to ask God to give us our daily bread. But what does he tell us there? If we're seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, is there any doubt about whether he is going to provide our daily bread, our clothing, the shelter, the things that we need physically to survive in this world so that we can fulfill his purpose and we can seek him in his righteousness and be able to do what those things that he commands us to do? God tells us, in fact, he gives us the freedom to concentrate solely and fully on seeking him and knowing him and doing his will, keeping his commandments, without worrying ourselves about the physical things. He says if we will seek him, he's going to add those things to us. Well, does God feed us every day, and does he not provide us all the things that we have physically? I mean, and we should be aware of that, and that's something that we should thank God for. And we need to thank him every day. He blesses us in so many ways, daily, in taking care of us. And we should thank God for providing all those physical, things that we have and that we need. Well, we also should thank him for the spiritual blessings that he provides. How much of that do we have? And how many of those do we have in Christ? I mean, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 summarizes it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 tells us what we have in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, we also know James 1 and verse 17, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. So when we try to get into the specifics of that, I mean, how many are there? And we need to think about those things, but we have so much to give him thanks for taking care of us physically and especially spiritually, in all that he does for us. We also should be thanking God for the deliverance that he gives for us. And this is, of course, part of the spiritual blessings that he provides for us through his son, Jesus Christ. How many situations are we in every day in temptation where God provides a way of escape from that and does not allow us, of course, to be tempted above what we can bear? This is something that he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 is the case. By God's faithfulness, he's never going to allow us to be tempted above what we can bear. He's always going to provide a way of escape from it. And how often does he deliver us from our temptations? I mean, that's what he's doing every day. If we will follow and take that way of escape he gives us and keep his commandments as he gives to us, he's going to give us that deliverance that we need. And he does that all the time. And how many times a day? And do we ask him to do that? Back to the request part. Do we then thank him for what he does and how he's working with us and protecting our souls and delivering us? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we have that time in our lives when he adopted us as his child. And when he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, when he added us into his family, into his body, the church at the time when we became a Christian. Well, he did that for us at that time. We should thank God, of course, for what he did there. And how many of our blessings do we then carry forth from that moment? I mean, if we were not in Christ, if we were not in his family, if we were not in the body of Christ, would we have all available to us that we do in him? And of course, the answer is no. We saw that in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. That's available in Christ Jesus. Outside of him, it's not. So he's the one that put us there and then made all of this, these things available to us to have through his son. We need to thank him for all of those things. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, before we go there, 2 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11. So if you're already in Philippians 1, 3, hold your finger there. That's next. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. This is an example of one of the times when Paul was delivered from a very difficult situation that he was in when he was sentenced to death, as he describes it here. This happened to him in Asia when he was there on his third missionary journey and was there for 3 years, and he had much tribulation, many things that he suffered for righteousness' sake at the hands of the Jews and the Gentiles of that city. A lot of the details of that we find in Acts chapter 19, also partly in chapter 20. He mentions some of that in 1 Corinthians 15, but now in 2 Corinthians 1, he's harking back to that time once more here in verses 10 and 11. When he says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So we see both aspects there, the request and the thanksgiving, here for the brethren on behalf of Paul. Well, that's something that we should pray for ourselves. That's a little easier to remember when we're facing a difficulty to ask God to help us. But we also need to be remembering to pray for one another, to pray for our brethren that are also in difficulty. And we should ask God for deliverance for them. And then also, as we should be thanking God when he helps us, we need to thank God when he helps one of our brethren that we're praying for. So we need to make requests for our brethren and thanks to God on their behalf when he provides that for them also. And that was expressed there by the Apostle Paul on that occasion. Back to Philippians 1 and verse 3. This is another reason why we should give thanks to God. Philippians 1 verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, that shows us how much we should be thinking about one another and how appreciative we should be for each other. Do we consider what it would be like if we were trying to fight the battles that we are spiritually and live the life that we are in this wicked world? If we were it, just ourselves alone, and we didn't have anybody else, we didn't have each other. Of course, Jesus said, few there be that find it. But, I mean, look at what we have in this room right now. And we should be very thankful for each one of us. We're not doing this alone. We're not the only one in this city or this world that has the mind to serve God and has the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the desire to fulfill all of his commandments that we do. We have all of each other, and that is a great blessing. Paul said he thanked God upon every remembrance that he had of his brethren. And that he says in this particular verse, we see something similar in most of the epistles, actually, as the ones that God inspired through the Apostle Paul. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So there's another example there. 1 Thessalonians, book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Do we see that pattern? So Paul was thinking constantly about his brethren. In fact, in the case of the Colossians, they were ones he hadn't even personally met yet, but he was still thinking of them often and praying for them continually. Well, we should do the same. Now, if we're doing all that, one of the other things that this should remind us of, how much are we going to be praying? If we're going to actually follow all of these things that we're looking at here, we're going to be praying a lot. Perhaps we would be praying without ceasing. Of course, that's what he tells us to do. And it doesn't mean that every prayer has to be of great length, but I mean, how often, how many situations do we face, and in that situation we need to ask God for his help? Following, we need to then express our thanks to him. We have a thought towards somebody. Can we stop and momentarily pray for that brother or sister? Or we hear something and we have about them or something that we can give thanks to God for. I mean, there are so many things, if we're thinking right, that we should be praying to God for, not just ourselves, but for one another, just as Paul did. Well, we have all of us in our spiritual family, and we do have our physical families, and we have those that we our spouses and our children, and we were studying this morning on that subject. That's a great blessing from God. We're not going through life alone. God saw when he created Adam, it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he gave him Eve to be his wife and for his companion and help meet for his life. Well, many of us are blessed also that God has given us someone to go through our life with, an heir together of the grace of life that we have from God, and we should be very thankful for that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Now, of course, one of the temptations is if we are with somebody all the time, it's a lot easier to notice people's little faults or their idiosyncrasies, as we might call it, little things in their personalities. And the devil would love for us to get irritated all the time by people like that. Of course, we don't want people to be irritated with ours, do we? We like for people to be very very long-suffering and forbearing with us on whatever the little things are with us. Well, we should be the same with others, but this is something we need to remind our children of, with each other, with their siblings. But we need to love and appreciate each other and be very thankful for one another. Let's read here from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. He says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Well, that's a statement that God says of the great blessing that we have with our wives. Of course, it's if a woman has a godly husband, that's a great blessing too. Chapter 19 and verse 14 of Proverbs, he says, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." So he gives us that emphasis there that this is a blessing from God that we have. And what a great one it is that we should be thankful for. Psalm 127 and verse 3, I know we read this morning also, but does not in any way hurt us to read this verse twice in a day. But he says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So our spouses, our children, are blessings from God that we should be thankful for. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, beyond that, beyond our spouses and children, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, this is the case with Timothy that he mentions there. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Did Timothy have something to be thankful for the mother that he had and the grandmother that he had that grounded him spiritually, taught him the things that he knew, that they taught him that word of God that he heard and then had that faith that was in them also? And how many of us do not have ones that brought us up that we should be very thankful for? Our parents or grandparents, many others that God has used to help us to learn more of him and his ways and encourage us. And we should be thankful for every one of those that God gives us, and we have many of those in our families to be thankful for. Well, we want to next week, or yes, I guess that would be next Sunday night, that Lord willing, we'll have the opportunity to continue with this, to take the opportunity to look at some details, some examples of some things that we need to make request for ourselves and for our brethren, and even for those who are our enemies that we're to pray for. So there's a lot that God teaches us about things that we need to be asking and praying to Him for that we want to look into our next time, Lord willing. There's a lot of material in this subject about prayer, and we do want to take our time and go through this and learn as much as we can from it for our benefit and also to be pleasing, more pleasing to God. And tonight we'll close with this opportunity for anyone that's here to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you are not yet a Christian, to come forward tonight and obey the gospel of Christ, to repent and to confess your faith in Him before men and be immersed in water, baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. If that is your need, we're encouraging you to come forward tonight and obey His gospel and do that. If you are a Christian, if you need the prayers of the church, as we're talking about praying, we can pray for you in your spiritual needs. If you have that need and you're ready to repent and come back to the Lord, if that is your situation, or if you have any other issue that you need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren, this is an opportunity for you to come, and we encourage you to do so right now while we stand and sing.